Log Hello and welcome to Awaken. I'm your host, co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Welcome all from Cosmic Dimensions. Welcome all that will be listening in the archives later on. And welcome all of you that are listening via the phone and all of you that will be listening via iTunes. Welcome all to a wonderful program, a wonderful place of connecting. It's great to see all of you and connect with all of you. I do see you. I see you energetically, and I feel you as well. Those of you perhaps that are just tuning in for the first time, I want to share a little bit about Awakenings Radio. You know, Awakenings Radio hosts dialogues, interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are awakening or awake and taking this awakened state into their everyday lives. Awakenings reflects the bridging point between science and spirituality. Awakenings is a place for guidance to support and guide you through the shifts and changes of these universal awakenings, the evolutionary process of ascension and soul alignment. Awakenings is a connecting point in the converging flow. Here at Awakenings, you'll find useful information that helps you upon your path. Awakenings is interactive. It's a live radio talk show that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakenings. And here we look at the individual as well as the collective shifts and changes that are occurring and how to traverse the terrain of the awakening that is occurring for everyone and everything, every sentient being and awareness, whether in physical form or not, is in this process. As we are all of this, we are the process as well as the process that is being worked upon us. If you have questions for our guests or myself, you can call in at 347-539-5122. You can also use this number to just listen. Each question, when you call in, if you press the number 1 on the keypad, I'll notice on the switchboard that you do have a question, and that helps me navigate here. Now, why I said at the beginning, you know, you are the process as well as what is happening, you know, to you or seemingly to happen to you. This is going to be increasingly more important as we get more into the further acceleration of the shifts that are occurring, is that it's not so much that something's happening to us. I know a lot of people are connecting and feeling that something is happening to them, but it is really something that you are co-creating or facilitating in a more expanded level or more expanded consciousness. And on some level is already encoded within you. A lot of the awakening that's happening is a decoding of the information that you already have within. In my meditation this morning with the working with the Oversouls and the spiritual hierarchy, as well as light beings, I've had some amazing experiences I'll be sharing with you on Friday, as I will be doing readings and channeling. I've been asked to do that at least once a month. I'll try once a month, if not once a month, every 2 months. At least, so that people can, you know, get the support and insight that they need, you know, if you're feeling of a resonance of this, if you're feeling of a resonance of the information. One of the things that I was guided to share today is that one way that you can really know, because a lot of people, I've been getting a lot of emails, some phone calls, but a lot of emails. And by the way, if you have questions, you can email me at info@selfandlight.com. That's probably the best place rather than the blog talk radio, because I don't check that as much. And then we can bring it into the channeling sessions that we do or the workshops that I do. We're all non-local here, right? But one of the things that I keep getting emails about is how do we know what's happening in this acceleration of time, this activation of time, this you know, process that we're all in, the shift, what people are calling the shift or the collective shift, the collective awakening. How do we know what if we're getting right information? And one of the things that I've been taught and received this information over 20 plus years, and it's really coming through more and more, is when you're moving out of the realm of duality, when you're moving out of the big, out of the story, the more that you're out of the story, the more that you're out of the drama or the play, the more that you are getting into unified consciousness, you're getting into those upper realms, and even beyond fifth dimension. You're getting, you know, you're operating in 10th, 11th, and 12th dimension. It's not until the ninth chakra or ninth dimension that you literally begin to ascend. It simply means that you are expanding your awareness, your consciousness. Now, let's just even look at this from common sense. If we are everything and everyone, if in the unified field we are all one and all connected, when you're getting into these dramas of dark forces or we're being kept or implanted, all these things that are being played out, you're really talking about an aspect of yourself. Now, I'm not talking about third and fourth dimension, even fifth, you know, mention. Yeah, there is more separation. There's more individuated consciousness. And that's part of what we all have been doing here on this level, this dimension, on the earth plane, is feeling out duality, living in the hot, the cold, the hate, the war, the peace, living out the opposites through creativity. That's how we create, is through the opposites of the yin, the yang, the male, the female, the reaching out, the reaching within. All those composite energies, somebody that's really excited, somebody that's a very restless type, or high strung or high maintenance, usually gets with somebody that's more mellow to ground them. So we've been playing all of this out, and it's not that it's wrong. It's not that it's to play this out. It's just when you're getting your information or you're tuning in or you're wanting to make a decision that's for the highest good, the most expanded consciousness, the most fulfillment, the most life-enhancing for your life, it's going to, now especially that we're in this quickening, it's going to reflect that's which is best for the whole. And Senla in the chat is saying, I don't like it. I want to live in the whole. I got you. You know, many of us, okay, wonderful individuated consciousness is wonderful. It's fun. But we can't go on only with that awareness anymore, with the forgetfulness that we are also the unified field. So in essence, even astrologically, when you're saying planetary, you know, the moon or the planetary aspects are affecting us, they are still an aspect of us. When you expand your awareness, when you expand your consciousness, you begin to live in fuller bodies of light, which means you are the planet and the planetary system, the solar system. That is actually an extension of you. Or many of the guides that you're working with, that's actually an extension of you. It's an other dimensional extension that is more in the unity consciousness or unified field consciousness. So, but we step it down when we individuate. We become centered in that which we can only see or feel, taste, you know, touch, smell, in the sensory realm, even the intuitive. So it's being able to have that awareness and live and to bring that or live that in this earth plane existence. It's living in that realm so that we're not feeling cut off, that we're not isolated. So if you are into story, and again, that's fine, but you're not ascending then, you're not expanding in consciousness, because we've outplayed that. You know, we've done that already. We've done those stories over and over of, you know, he fought me, he didn't like me, this is dark light, dark force, you know, trying to get me. You're being called. That's a part of these gateways that are happening every May, June, and November, December, the activation and acceleration that's happening there, the implosion of light that's happening at those times, or like the times of what we had, you know, on August 15th, 15th to the 17th, the harmonic convergence, which we have now an anniversary of that energy, harmonizing of that energy, harmonizing, like a tuning fork, harmonizing our vibrational frequency. So on this level, on this dimension, we can handle more of us, basically, that we can live fully within us. Your physical body, the dense physical body that we all see, is about a quarter, maybe a third, to your expression. And as you expand in consciousness, as you expand in awareness, as your vibrational frequency raises, you feel less and less and less and less, less and less separation. You begin to live in the realm of that you are that planetary existence. You are that person next to you to a degree. That's another reflection of you in a sense. You begin to intellectual level, but on a feeling tone level, you live from that space and place of understanding. So if, and why I'm sharing this with you, if you are following that which is too much into story and is too specific, then it's of a third or fourth dimensional range. I mean, the more that you get into the abstraction, the more that you get into vibration, that you get into light, sound, vibration, that you get into the truth that you're this vibratory configuration, this mathematical configuration that is having this experience, the more that you get into that energy plane or that knowingness, that livingness, that you are this substance, this energy substance of light, love, wisdom, that you change shape and form, that you are the all that is, the I am that I am, that you are that, that your personality ego is simply a manifestation of that to live out this expression and experience. The more you get play in that realm, do you see why it's hard to have war? Do you see why it would be very difficult to live in disharmony with that awareness? And so whether through thought, word, song, we're going into that understanding again, we're living from that space, you know, that brings in tolerance. That means that I can tolerate someone else's experience or expression because I know that that's not the ultimate truth. I'm okay with that. And that's where we need to reside more. We need to be more and more in that space. So I would say ask yourself, how can I not lose myself? It's not about losing myself and becoming the whole, because we're here not to lose ourselves. We're here to remember ourselves and express our individuated aspect of the all that is, God that I am. However, ask yourself, how can I be more in unity? How can I be more in understanding? How can I see this person or this situation or this experience not as dense, not as whole, not as black and white, not as dark and light? How can I rise above that and experience this situation or this person in that space? And then it becomes very easy to live in the harmony, the cooperation that we are co-creating right now. Great to see everyone, by the way, in the chat. Hello. And yes, M&M, it's been a year on the show. Wow, next month. That's right. That's right. That's great. Well, let's see. Awakenings has been on Blog Talk Radio, I believe, this July was a year. So it's wonderful journey and wonderful unfolding. And the reason that Awakenings is what it is because of all of the listener participants and everyone that we're graced to have on the program as well, sharing their insight and understanding and awareness and sharing their life path. And that's part of the converging flow, people coming from all walks of life that are being decoded. They're awakened. Their memory has come through, and they've awakened to their gifts, their talents, their inner knowing, their innovations, their inventing, their creating, that which is helping us live in the next level of expression and experience, those forms that are needed. And it has to come through us. It has to come through us. So this is a place where we celebrate this and share that which is unfolding. Today we have on Awakenings, really feel blessed because we've gotten a lot of emails, and we've had some people that have talked a little bit about on the program about the, I'm going to say, old new sound frequency that many are becoming aware of and tuning their music to, their instruments to. And this frequency is more in harmony with our nature, our the truth of who we are. And it is found in nature. It's the frequency of dolphins. It's the frequency of the temples. It's the frequency of nature, in fact. And our guest today has actually put this into a system and created or innovated a converter for sound. And so today on Awakenings, we have Alan Howarth, who is co-founder of Raw Music. And again, like I was saying, this Raw Music is a natural frequency music made by natural tuning standards found in nature. And Alan has been a sound designer and composer for major Hollywood films. He worked with John Carpenter on the music from Escape from New York. He's provided sound design and effects for Poltergeist, Raiders of the Lost Ark, worked on all the Star Trek movies. He worked on The Hunt for Red October, Coppola's Dracula, Total Recall, and Stargate, among others. And as a composer, he scored all and parts as well of Halloween films, composed music for Retribution. So very extensive, if you would call mainstream, exoteric background, and now has taken this insight and understanding of music and gone on a spiritual, metaphysical journey to co-found Raw Music. I want to welcome to Awakenings Alan Howarth. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on board today.
Great.
Great listening to your intro, and I think a great lead-in is how you say that all of us have been on a journey to arrive at our own individual puzzle part to the awakenings of all of us as a group. And so my contribution is now with sound and music.
Mm.
And that leads us into what you talked about, what we call raw music. We're ready to jump into it. I'll just get into everybody quick orientation.
Yeah, let's just talk a little bit of your awakening and how you got from working on the Halloween movies, scoring those movies, working on sound effects, how you got from that focus to focusing on raw music.
Sure. Well, you know, like most of us, as in our younger years, I was attracted to music. I was a rock and roll kind of guy. You know, played in rock bands in the Cleveland area. We had records out. We opened for The Who and The Cream and Steppenwolf, and we were sort of at that, I'll say, the B level of a band business. Journeyed me then to the jazz business, where I worked with a jazz band called Weather Report and toured extensively worldwide with them. And then in the 80s, got into the movie business, making sounds and music for movies, which as an artist, I really, I excelled. I had really good sensibilities about making sound for music or sound for picture. And
mm-hmm.
So that's where we get through all the Halloweens and the Star Treks and stuff like that. So I was pretty much an artist for hire as either a sound designer, which I was making warp drive and transporters or monsters, et cetera, or as a scoring partner with John Carpenter in many of his movies, starting with Escape from New York, and sort of inherited the Halloween franchise because he was actually busy on other things and really wasn't interested in following up. So, you know, as a composer, I scared people. That was my job.
Yeah, how'd you come to all the scary sounds?
Well, you know, like an artist, you can, you know, if you ask Salvador Dali to paint a picture of heaven or paint a picture of hell, he can do either. You know, and he has interpretation of it. So as an artist, we deal with both black and white. We can't just, you know, it's we're in the world of duality. I think you have to find understand both to find balance. And so that's been my approach. Well, in the early 90s, being a Star Trek guy, a very good friend of mine presented me with a book by Wes Bateman, who is the other co-founder of Raw Music. And Wes had spent 25 years analyzing the mathematics of the Great Pyramid. And his viewpoint was that the pyramid was a mathematical message or model to of some higher knowledge. And so he felt that mathematics, which is a universal language, was the communication that the pyramid has. And here's that structure still at least 5,000 years old, some say much older than that. And so he read every book of everybody who ever measured it and made a summary of those measurements and, in his opinion, rediscovered the original architect's mathematics. And he called this mathematical system Ra Mathematics. So Ra being the sun god Ra, and the name of the book being the rods of Amun-Ra, the rods being the measurements of Amun-Ra. And it's not that it's an Egyptian thing, it's just that the starting point for this journey, at least the one I got on, was the Great Pyramid. And in the Ra mathematical system, he said he discovered natural mathematics. And so the core knowledge in this mathematical system is based around two ratios that in mathematics we call irrational, meaning that they don't resolve. One is pi, which is 3.14159 da 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 da, and they've run this ratio out to millions of resolution numbers, and it never stops. And then the other one, phi, which is the golden mean, which is sort of the core information that we came across in the Da Vinci Code about the Fibonacci numbers. Well, I don't want to get too deep into the math, but nonetheless, these two, from his viewpoint, these things that we call mathematically irrational, he viewed them as infinite. Well, is that the same thing? Mathematics can't resolve it, but infinity goes on forever. These numbers go on forever. And he felt that these were key ratios from a higher knowledge or a higher dimension. And he described what we refer to now as sacred geometry. Well, what's sacred geometry? Sacred geometry is the natural system of geometry that nature uses to express itself. So, as an example, let's talk about phi, phi, the 1.618, et cetera, that becomes the golden mean. If you look at your own hand and look at the dimension of the first section of your index finger and call that one unit, and you compare that length to the next section as you go towards your palm, that's 1.618 times longer than the first one. And if that one's one, then you look at the next part of your hand, and that's 1.618 times longer than that. And if you, as you bend your finger, you begin to see one of these Fibonacci curves right in your own hand. So nature used...
I'm bending it.
Yeah, nature used this number in the design of living things. And that's the ram's horn and the snail shell, and you see it in sunflowers.
The conch.
Conch shell. This curve is there, and it's very interesting because this ratio phi is also beauty. So it turns out the most beautiful faces on humans have all their phi ratios perfectly in place. So when we see a picture of, let's say, Pierce Brosnan or Angelina Jolie, and if you were to measure the distance between her eyes and her nose and her mouth and her lips, all the phi ratios are perfect. And, you know, the ancients understood this. The Greeks made the Parthenon, the dimensions of the Parthenon, the base of the Parthenon is 1.618 times longer than its height. Repeated through all cultures that had this knowledge. Well, end of this.
So, we're made up of this mathematical configuration.
Yeah. This is the creative math. This is how you build things in the third dimension.
Yeah. Well, you know why I love this, Alan? Because this is going to free everyone up. I'm so glad more people are coming out with this principle and connecting in with the sound and seeing ourselves more as sound, tone, and vibration, is because this is going to push us out of belief systems. What has caused so much separation is people hung up on beliefs, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Example, doctors are taught in medical school certain information that becomes literally dogma, that they believe that, and they're closed-minded to other possibilities. Doctors, young doctors were questioned as to how important they thought nutrition was to good health. And as going into medical school, they also, well, that's very important. By the time they leave medical school, they go, well, that's not really that important. And they're out of these things that are intuitive. So I'm on this journey about mathematics and natural proportions, and I read Wes Bateman's book, and unfortunately Wes Bateman passed on in February, so he's no longer with us, but he left us a great body of knowledge, which I am the caretaker of and will share with everyone as we continue our journey. Well, back to how did I get music out of all this stuff, at the end of this Razavaman Ra book, he suggested there were frequencies described by the pyramid mathematics. And being a musician, my antenna went up, and I got to know this. So it was a self-published book, and his telephone number was at the end. I called him up and I said, hey, Wes, I just read your book. This is fascinating. I'm really into this stuff. Tell me more. Well, number one, he was thrilled that first somebody actually read his book. And number two, so interested to follow up that he began sort of downloading me over the phone all this information, which was like gold. I mean, he was just passing it out, saying, here, share this, know this, tell everybody you know about this stuff. Well, we finally got to the one day where we took the mathematics and converted it to sound. And we actually sat down at an electric keyboard. Actually, let me put this up briefly. Can I make this play for us?
Yeah. Is there any way to make your louder?
Make me louder?
Yes.
Make me louder? I'm as loud as I can get here on my machine. I'll just get closer. How's that? Does that make it better?
Yes. Talk about.
I'll just be closer as we go. All right. So let me pull over a keyboard here briefly. I want to give you the example of exactly the primary experiment, which was the big reveal. Just give me one second.
Okay. I love it. Live. Someone finally playing something live on here. Yay!
Okay.
Welcome all. I see Dara from Chicago calling in. Welcome. Let's see. Okay, light. Okay, and also everyone, if you do have questions, you can type in the chat, type in caps. And Sylvia's letting me know in the chat room that you're going to be listening by phone. Cool.
All right, so.
And let me know. Okay.
You can hear me okay, right?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm here. Okay, I'm going to turn up the piano. I'm going to imagine it's a little farther away from the.
And Alan, what are you showing us now on the keyboard?
I want to compare the standard tuning of music as it is today in Western culture to frequencies of raw music.
Okay.
As a comparison. So this is the note A equals 440 cycles per second. Okay. And that was decided upon as a standard frequency for the music industry in the year 1925, and it was done for the purpose of standardization, making so that all piano tuning forks are on the same frequency and all the trumpets and the clarinets and the xylophones would all be tuned to the same frequency so everybody could play with everybody else in tune.
Mm-hmm.
The choice of that frequency was an engineer, not a musician, not someone who was sensitive. Now, there was historically many other tunings up until that time. That's why they standardized it, because it was kind of all over the place. So there was need for a standard. One second, I get my sustain pedal here.
Interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to play. I'll play the piano briefly tuned to A440, just so we sense what we hear all the time. All right?
And L440 is what we hear all the time.
Right. Every record that we hear on the radio, well, I'll say a major portion, 99% of everything, is tuned to these frequencies. So here we go. that A note, this one, is 440 cycles. But Wes Bateman has a little oscillator, and he dials up mathematically a frequency that equals 423.97 cycles per second, which rounded off is 424 cycles per second. So I'm listening to the note, and the note is no longer A440, which is here, but it's flatter. It's down about there. So if I retune the piano now to A424, which for our musician buddies out there, you would detune the master tuning.
So that's 424 hertz, right?
Right. Cycles per second or hertz, right, exactly.
Cycles per second. Cycles per second is
So the A note has now been shifted to 424. And that 424, for our friends out there that are musicians, if you detune the instrument by minus 64 cents, which is about 5/8 flat, so it's not enough for the A to become A flat yet, it's in the crack. So that's A at 424. Just let me play the same piece of music.
Well, for me, the second one is more grounding and it tickles my heart chakra.
You are absolutely correct. It turns out
is that it?
Tuned for the heart.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, you were absolutely correct in your intuition. And when I first heard this, I turned to Wes and I said, golly, that sounds like a 17th century piano. Now, I don't really know what a 17th century piano sounds like, but it was my impression. It sounded old to me. And he turned to me and he says, you're right. I said, what do you mean I'm right? And he says, I'm telling you, this was the tuning of the great masters in the 17th century. Well, I did some research on the Internet and found a website about the history of the tuning fork. And as it turns out, the first tuning fork was invented in the year 1711, and it was tuned to 423.5 cycles per second, which is within a half a cycle of the frequency we're talking about. So intuitively, the inventor of the tuning fork chose these frequencies. Now, why would he do that? It just sounded right. Yeah. He had no computer. He had nothing to calibrate to. And Mozart composed in 421, and Handel composed in 422, and the Paris Opera was in 427, and these are all frequencies of the raw frequency system that Wes Bateman was talking about in the beginning, which he developed mathematically and theoretically without ever hearing anything. So this correlation completely blew me away. I went, whoa, this is important. Not only is it important, but how would he get it out of the pyramid? What's that all about? Well, I told this story to a colleague of mine, a fellow named Dr. J.J.
Now, wait one second. Now, how did he get it out of the pyramid?
Well, all right, a little bit of sound information.
Okay.
Every sound has a wavelength. So how many times the sound vibrates per second determines the frequency and also then the wavelength. And so there is a way to convert physically dimensions into frequencies, and this is what he had done. And I'll give you a little bit PS on that. Let me continue here. So I tell this story to Dr. J.J. Hartog. He's the author of a very famous book called The Keys of Enoch. He wrote this in 1974, and he has an organization called the Academy for Future Science. Well, the Academy for Future Science sponsored an expedition to the Yucatan, where I acoustically measured the resonant frequencies of the Mayan temples. Of over 7 sites, I took over 200 measurements. And the idea of resonance in a room, back to wavelength, is the idea that the distance between the ceiling and the floor and each wall will generate a resonant frequency. Much like when you're in the shower and there's a note, if you're singing in the shower, there's one that's louder than the rest. That's the resonance of that space. So I created a database with Dr. Hertog of all the resonant frequencies of the Mayan system. Hold on.
Yeah, I heard that. What's that?
That's someone who's calling me on Skype there.
Cool.
Right in the middle of course. So anyhow, it turns out over half of the Mayan temples resonate on these raw frequencies. And we go, What would they?
The Mayan temples resonate with the are resonating to the
raw frequency.
The raw frequency.
And a large portion of them resonate to the phi frequency, and a lot of them resonate to the pi frequency. Remember the two things we discussed about the ratios of the mathematical system. And so the phi frequencies relate to the physical. Remember our hands and the flowers and all this other stuff. So the Mayans were very much in tune with the phi ratios and also the pi ratios. Well, the pi ratios are the ones we're discussing now, this 424. Well, the pi ratios correlate to brain waves. They correlate if we're into our brain now, our higher consciousness, and our higher consciousness expresses itself through the brain. I think there's a life force that drives our bodies as we experience the third dimension in sight and sound and taste and smell. And therefore, our determination is that the ancients understood these frequencies, built it into their architecture in the units of measure for the purposes of religion or transcendental experience. So when the shaman is in one of these Mayan rooms and he goes, oh, and he gets and does his thing, when he's in tune with the room, he's on the right note. And when he's on the right note, himself and anyone else in there has a transcendent experience. So therefore, transcendent experiences, transcendent frequencies that are reinforced by architecture. Well, we were successful there enough that one of the members of the Academy for Future Science sponsored a trip, and we actually went to Egypt and rented the Great Pyramid. I couldn't believe we could rent the pyramid.
You rented the Great Pyramid?
We actually rented the Great Pyramid for our measurement. And we did this unofficially because there's a whole thing about getting involved with Zahi Hawass and the Egyptian Antiquities Commission, and that was beyond our economic scope at the time. So we literally went in there, rented it, and privately did the measurements. And as it turns out, King's Chamber resonates on 424 cycles per second. Which, how could that be? How could a Wes Bateman known this mathematically, and we go there and acoustically measuring, confirm his data? Well, the answer is, it is in wavelength. The precise measurements of the King's Chamber generate these frequencies, just like a resonant chamber. And what was the King's Chamber for? The King's Chamber was certainly not to bury anybody in. It is a ceremonial room. I mean, when you ascend the Grand Gallery, you know you're going to someplace special. And once you get in there, it is this room that is very precisely made with stones that there's no way anybody ever picked up with a rope and a camel and an elephant. It's just a magical place. Well, the resonant frequency is precisely that. And so I believe that the purpose of the King's Chamber is a graduation room. When in that culture you studied the Egyptian mystery school, and after you learned the lessons of the Ma'ats and the Osiris and all the legends, your graduation was to be allowed into the pyramid, and they let you loose in that room for like overnight. And you went in there and had your own transcendent experience. Well, my experience, when I laid into the sarcophagus and began to chant in there and resonated with the sarcophagus, was I cognited that this was not a coffin. This thing was like a bathtub. Mm-hmm. And I believe what they did is they filled it with water, and you had what we have today is what the sensory deprivation, right? When you go into the floating in the salt water and you deprive yourself of all sensory and you go on a mind thing. Well, this room resonated on a mind thing. I think when you go in there is you experience higher dimensions, which would be the afterlife. So therefore, you have this out-of-body experience tuned up by this structure, and at the end of your experience, as a graduate, as an initiate, you are confirmed that there is an afterlife and everything you've taught is true. And that was what it was for, in my opinion. Well, here we are in 2009 having this discussion about something that happened 5 to 10,000 years ago, but it's still true. Mm. And we now have a way to apply that knowledge to one of our cultural elements, which is music. Mm. So now,
Alan, I want to ask something, because when you're talking of the pi and phi, if the pi is the brainwave, it's expanded consciousness when we're expanding our consciousness or awareness.
Sure.
The phi is that golden mean. In essence, if the pi is infinite, right?
Yes. The
infinity.
Phi is awful. The phi is
it all
awful.
Is, but it looks like if one more, if one is the maybe the brainwave or the idea and the other one is physical form.
Yes, that is correct. One is the pi is all the electrical systems, the brainwave, the spirit, the electrical
yeah,
energy.
The spirit. Yeah, and the other is taking the physical form.
Is the body.
The body.
Exactly, and these are the two key building blocks that are expressed over and over again in the pyramid, in the Mayan temples, in Stonehenge, in Angkor Wat, and in nature herself. Well, after we went through this discovery of the frequencies, I began to experiment with them personally, and I started to create a CD called Paradise Within with a lady named Siobhan, and this was going to be a meditation CD, and I was composing in the standard frequencies of A440, and I got about two-thirds of the way through the project, and one night Siobhan was due in the studio, and she was late, and I was kind of sitting there kind of thinking, what else could I do here? And I thought, you know, I'm going to retune the instruments to this 424 and just see what happens. Well, I retuned the instruments, and I began to compose, and in 3 hours, I composed 3 songs and finished the record. We had worked on it for weeks, and I finished it like in 3 hours, the rest of the record, and my performance was absolutely flawless. I could do anything that came to me cognitively, and it was correct. Every note was correct, every gesture was correct, every choice of sound. So I have a perfect performance at the end of the record, and it was just, it was unbelievable. I hit what musicians call the zone, the place you go to be totally creative and just have it flow out of you. So the music frequencies stimulate creativity. So whether you're writing music or a book or you're performing or you're dancing or you're singing or you're in church, all these frequencies are now reinforcing those activities.
Does it bring out those activities more?
Yes, it enhances them. It intensifies.
It enhances. And also, what did you say that it would, if bringing out, so would it perhaps make one want to do that more or go in that direction?
It's more fun.
More fun. Okay.
To sing in raw frequencies, consider this, that the frequencies are now in tune with the mind and the body. So if you chant in the natural tunings, it's a better experience. The cell, you get down to the cells, you get down to the atoms, you get down to the life force. Whereas the standard is a little bit out. It's kind of the difference between, if you remember old analog radios where you had to tune in a radio station, if you weren't quite on, it was a little fuzzy. Well, standard, whereas the raw music is precisely right on the right channel. This is like a booster. And as an artist, if I'm going to communicate my music to you, I now tune it in such a way that it goes right into you. It's not something you hear with your ears. You sense it with your whole body. And as you said, it goes right to your heart with this 424. So if I want to send you a love song, I want to tune it to 424. If I want to send you a spirit, a message spiritually, the 424 becomes very relevant. And it turns out that this is the core where I started on the raw music expression. So now rawmusic.com, ramusic.com, has the converter that you talked about, and you can go there and upload any music you want, any file, MP3, wave, and into the website, and the website has a digital converter built into it that will convert the frequencies from the 424, or from the 440 to 424, and then you can audition what happens to that piece of music. So you could do the Beatles or Sting or Mozart or whatever. It's completely.
So you developed a converter.
Yeah.
So that anybody, if they go to rawmusic.com.
Right.
I just put that in the chat.
Can
convert. Now we have one question. Does 424 come on CD?
You mean as a tone?
Yeah, I don't know. Senla, do you mean as a tone? We're getting that in the chat room.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't come on a CD right now. We have a couple products coming up that will be able to give you that. And I did consider putting just the tone on the website so anybody can tune their guitar to it. So that is an upgrade for the website
that would be great. But right now on the website if you
were clever enough to upload A440 in the converter, the output would be the 424 that you want. That you could do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody had a tuning fork and they played that, or had a 440 tone off their little keyboard, and or even sang it. If they sang a standard A, you know, played it on the piano, went boo, sang ah, put it in and got it back, that would do it right now. But I will definitely upgrade by the 424 tone on the website so we can get everybody to test this out.
That would be great. Now, we do have a question, coming in on text. The Great Pyramid Chamber also can change time. Do you think sound and time affect each other?
Absolutely. One of the other discoveries that Wes Bateman had was, again, he's sort of like recalibrating all our standard things, that there is a natural second of time, which is just slightly longer than what we call a standard second of time. So the natural second of time, when used in combination with the raw measurements and frequencies, comes out that the speed of light comes out evenly at 300,000 raw meters per natural second. Well, this would also mean that there is raw time. There's also raw temperature. What's happening is our friends in the science class are basically using the grams, meters, seconds system of measurement right now, and it's slightly off. So therefore, the numbers or the calibrations or the values that we're getting in science right now are a little bit off. So we're not seeing the relationships between all the constants. So Wes started off on redefining the things in science and in physics, like what was called the Rydberg constant for hydrogen, the spectral lines, and working down from there into the constants for magnetism and free space and the temperatures, et cetera, et cetera. And he began to see ratios or relationships that science doesn't see right now because of the recalibrations. So this was his last works, which are incomplete, but nonetheless like an unfinished symphony. There's still great things in there, and that's part of the raw group and raw, the raw organization, and we'll call the Raw Research Society, to continue to find people that are drawn to these things and let them expand on the basis of this knowledge.
So this affects everything then?
It affects everything. First expression is music, one, because it's entertainment and it's fun, and it's something that could be disseminated easily through media, and I'm a media person, so that was my first expression. But there are physical expressions of all this recalibration that we can talk about in the future, but I don't want to get too far off. But yeah, it affects everything.
And then I'm going to get to some phone calls and then some other questions that we have. But
sure.
For the layperson, because Martha in the chat saying way over, this is interesting, way over my head. So what are the implications for going back to this? And some people may think that this is a new frequency. But it's really going back to the original or natural frequency.
Yeah, it's really an old frequency that, one other expansion on the research. So after all the temples and things, I started to look at I'm in the sound effects business in movies as part of what I do. So I had recordings of whales and dolphins and birds and wolves. And I started to analyze what's called a spectral analyzer, a frequency analyzer, the tonalities of nature. And they're all tuned to these same notes. And
whales and...
Yeah, they're all...
So what does this mean for us then? So the implications of this raw... Other than in the beginning, definitely, I felt immediate more grounding, a sense of safety, and my heart chakra was just immediately being tingled, and it felt more of an opening.
Absolutely.
But that's enough. That's enough for me right there.
All right. So that means that the frequencies we're making music at are not tuned to the human. In fact, they're tuned to an energy center that's somewhat above
the resonance of the human body. The human body goes from 421 to 427. And we've discovered, Wes Bateman originally predicted that there was 9 tunings. Well, we've now recalibrated the 9 tunings to go from the crown to the root chakra. And we can actually tune the music to address the energy center of the body as we wish. So 424 is the middle, but 421 addresses the root, and 427 addresses the crown. So as an energy healer, or a person who does meditation, or a person who does energy work on a person, we could conceivably now tune our music to address the third eye, or to address the throat, or address the heart, or address the solar plex, or address the root. So as a musician, if you wanted to make a dance tune, you would tune it to 421.6, and that would make people want to dance more. We found a new way to express ourselves as artists. So all this is very exciting stuff. I was going to say I could play for our fans out there just a piece of music, a little piece of opera, before and after, where we could hear the voice in standard tuning and then hear it one more time in the raw tuning and hear what happens to that music, a recording.
Okay. Let's do that, and then we'll get to some of the questions.
Okay. Go ahead. But I think it helps. It becomes obvious once we do it. Here we go. So first time, here's the standard recording off the record. Now that's standard. Here's raw version. Interesting, huh?
Wow. The second one, but it's interesting. It's still expanding. It still expands in the upper chakras, or the transcendent chakras,
yes.
But it also grounds.
Yeah, and again, those are tunings for the heart. Well, this was actually the original frequencies these operas were sung in and performed in the 17th and 18th century until we re-standardized. And Aborigine didgeridoos and Tibetan bowls, a lot of these are tuned to these frequencies as part of their culture. And when you think about it, what was their reference? Their reference was nature. So a guy out in the outback, as a shaman, would listen to the world around him and make his instruments in tune with that. Or an American Indian would make his flutes in tune with the birds. So we've just lost something in our standardization. Some think it's a conspiracy that they're trying to take the power of music away from the musicians. I don't need to buy into that or not.
Which ultimately means, though, the power of sound, the power of our true tone, the power of our signature vibrational frequency. So it goes, the implications, I mean, it could be as mundane or exoteric, or it could go very esoteric. If you're off key, you're out of tune or alignment.
Yeah.
By the way, Terry Machi says hi in the chat, by the way, Alan.
Oh, hi, hello.
Now,
I'm
going to get to... Huh?
There's several friends out there that I know are listening in, and we're very excited about the progress. You know, the Raw Music Project is a project of love. We're doing it because we gotta. It's not because this is going to make anybody rich tomorrow or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing I'm talking about is part of the development of the technology we talked about is we're planning on having the Raw website have a subscription service where you could go. And as a subscriber, listen to any internet radio streamed through the Raw website and have it converted on the fly. So let's say you have a hair salon or a bookshop. You could then tune into classical radio and have the raw website converted in real time for all your customers. And also, we're looking to license the technology to radio and broadcast, where we now begin to have the radio in your car, let's say have raw rock or raw classical or raw reggae stations. And so these
right.
are all expansions that we're trying to put into, because it will lower the stress of our culture.
Okay. Now, Alan, we're off the hook with questions here. So now,
come on.
Okay, Colin, it's heating up. I've been doing transmissions. People are texting me. Their heads are tingling. Their feet are tingling. You're doing the raw music, where it's all happening. okay, just briefly, and then we've got a question from Terry in the chat. And Dara, I want to get to you and your question as well. Have you explain a little more, because I didn't quite understand the text. Those of you that are calling in, if you do have a question and you're on the switchboard, just press 1 on your keypad on your phone, and I will know the number 1. Press the number 1, and I'll know you have a question. Anyone have a question in the chat, just type in caps, and they'll see it easier. We did have a question from Debbie, and you touched on it a little bit, but she's wanting to know about gamma rays, alpha, beta, and crystal bowls, the gamma, alpha, beta sounds, as well as crystal bowls. Do you feel that those aid in healing?
Absolutely. The natural frequencies, the resonant frequencies of the materials in the third dimension are all correct. And so each of them has a specific application. And I know each of us has our own modality in how we work. But crystals are definitely there. The resonant frequencies of all the elements are there. And
they are in that raw frequency. They are in that range.
Most likely, if they're in their natural resonance, they're in rock, because that's what we're talking about, is natural resonance.
Natural. Now, Alan, is the natural resonance is between the 421 and the 427?
At 4, the reference of the note A. Okay. So
okay.
Back to just musician sign, we needed some point to start with. So there's a natural A. There's also a natural C and a natural D and a natural F and a natural F sharp.
Mm-hmm.
But just for starters, just to have a discussion, we keep referring to these frequencies back to A. And also, just as a subset, if you take the octaves below and you cut A in half, mathematically, every time you cut a frequency in half, it lowers it by an octave. So you got
mm-hmm.
4, then you got, what's half of that, 2... 216, and then you go to 106, and you keep going down. Eventually, you come into frequencies that are brain waves. So frequency of 10.6, which would be a multi, you know, times 10 times 10 times 10 would be 424, is the most average frequency of a person in the state of meditation.
Mm. So it's not just the 424 hertz.
No, this is just a way to retune it.
Just a way to retune it. Okay,
just a way to compare standard music to raw music.
Okay. Now we have a question from Terry in the chat. Since we've been living out of harmony with our organism, our body, and we're living our lives out of harmonic time, is it possible we're drawing wrong conclusions from this?
Absolutely.
I would say yes. I would say
it's creating confusion, and it may be deliberate, and it may just be that it's an accident, but it's certainly... where it's at. That's why folks want to go to the forest or to the waterfall and wash, be awash in natural frequencies for their own clarity.
Mm. And then another question, could the calendar we currently use be out of tune, just like our music?
Big time. This Jose Aguilis, who was the original guy to come up with 2012, says that the lunar calendar is the only way to go, and it's a 13th moon and the Gregorian is out. There's no question.
Yeah.
So
we're moving away from.
Yeah. So the calibrations where we hit our peaks and valleys of our own life force and our own cycles and stuff that are can't be marked on a calendar and make any sense out of it at all.
Mm-mm. All right, caller. I believe it's a Skype. I'm not sure. 00012. You're on Awakenings.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Alan.
Hi there.
Hi. Fantastic show. Amazing.
Great. To whom are we speaking with?
Oh, my name is Rashta. Sorry.
Hi, Rashta. No problem.
Yeah. I'm a musician, a composer, and, you know, I'm listening to the difference of these, Alan, that you're playing back, and, yeah, absolutely. It's just resonating amazingly in my heart chakra. My question is, in terms of using digital keyboards, I'm primarily utilizing Ivory right now.
Sure.
And also Spectrasonic. So, sure, I can tune those to the frequencies that you're talking about. Here's what I'm thinking is, in terms of recording acoustically, recording percussion.
Yes.
Would we be talking about then recording them digitally, and would the optimal situation be to then retune the recording, or just start from the bottom up and have the percussionist get inside this in terms of a concept and just start tuning his drums?
Excellent question. The answer is to start from the ground up, to retune the instruments to the right frequencies in the beginning, because the musician and the composer and the players will have a different creative performance based on the retuning of the instruments. Like, one of my goals is to go get the London Symphony and retune them and have them reperform Mozart and Bach for me in the original tunings. The whole orchestra will get off in a way that they've never had before.
Sure. Oh, I can totally dig it. You know, I just wanted to offer one other thing. Quite a while ago in my meditations, going back maybe, you know, 10, 15 years in my practice, you know, I started to notice when I would do a single-pointed meditation, eyes open, I started to notice the swirl that, you know, staring at the single point.
Yes.
A swirl would emerge, you know, the spiral.
Uh-huh.
So then I started hearing that, I went to a Saratoga Jazz Festival and heard Herbie Hancock with Pat Metheny and Jack DeJohnette, which was just a ridiculously smoking improvisational band. And there too, you know, when they were in like the frenzy of the improvisation, there was the swirl.
Sure, and that swirl is a Fibonacci curve.
Yes, the snail.
Yeah, the snail shell. I mean, if you look at a galaxy has the same swirls.
Yes, absolutely. Everything. Yeah.
Universal form in the third, in whatever we perceive as the dimension we're in right now. Yeah, and, and also I had the same experience. I was with the jazz band Weather Report for about 4 years as one of the keyboard technicians, and I same thing about ridiculous improvisation. I mean, literally, you would sense the creator in their music. And it wasn't even the tuning right now. This is just the guys expressing themselves. So now, if they were all retuned, they would even go up another notch.
Well, I got to tell you, this is you've certainly sent me off in a, you know, yet a deeper direction to a multiple of 1,000.
Oh no, I encourage every musician to fool around with this this tuning. So just to reiterate. What you're talking about is there are master tunings in these electronic instruments, and they have a way to adjust the master tuning. So if you adjust the master tuning by 64 cents, minus 64 cents, it will shift the A440 to A424, and you're off to the races.
Right. Yeah, I notated that early on in the show.
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks. This is just brilliant. And Michelle, thanks so much for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thanks again for participating.
Yeah.
You guys, you make awakenings what it is, so it's great to connect with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Sure, Alan. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. All right. And then we've got caller 312-259. You're on Awakenings. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh,
yeah.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I think my question was answered, because I just wanted to know, well, since we, you know, do the A one way, then every other note will also be dumbed down a little. So I think I got that. That was my question. But I did also think of the ear and how the ear is the shape of the fetus. And in Chinese medicine, the ear, you know, is the whole body, like the earlobe is the head and all that. And I'm just thinking now that that's probably also the Fibonacci swirl.
Absolutely. And actually, if you look at the inner ear, the ear canal, that's a Fibonacci spiral.
Mm.
That makes sense, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow, that's...
Here's the thing. All this information is here for us to just recognize. It's back to the one that has the eyes to see and the ears to hear. It's been presented from creation for us to experience.
Mm. So what are the that's a great question, too, there, the ear. And that's interesting, too, because that's the sound, you know, one of the ways that we hear. I mean, we hear, that's the physical way we hear, not the psychic way, but the physical way we hear is through the ear.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting that it that formation.
By design. By design. There's no way to think that this is a random world that we live in. There is an intelligence behind all this that's just laughing at everything that's going on, as far as I'm concerned, having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you see with this, the implications for healing with this, Alan?
All right, just another short story. So I was taking the raw music to sound healing conferences. There was several of them in San Francisco and in Los Angeles and went out in Santa Fe, and I had my little raw music exhibit, sort of like a science project. I really didn't have anything to sell, some CDs maybe, but I was just out there to sort of share with everyone. And a group came forward from San Anselmo called New Equations, and they had studied Egyptian information and had come up with the idea that there are 9 soul types. And this was from a book called The Temple of Man by Schwaller de Leibowitz, where they found the information. And the head of it is a fellow, another Alan named Dr. Alan Sheets. And he went ahead and correlated the 9 soul types with the 9 raw frequencies, and he uses it as part of their education at New Equations, and they have newequations.com. You can go see their stuff. But the idea is each of us is one of 9 expressions of energy, and we express it through our chakra center. So there's a crown chakra, which is a soul type 5. The heart chakra is a soul type 6. And there's a whole expression of this stuff.
This is like on the Enneagram, similar.
Right, exactly. So for healing, we can now adjust the frequencies of music, at least, to the chakra centers that we want to heal. So if someone's having emotional issues or physically heart issues, it would make sense to tune it to 424. If someone were to go for... I'll say brain tumors, but that might be a little too far out, but just headaches, it would make sense to tune it to 427. And so this is across the spectra of, remember, these are all pi frequencies. I will introduce the A that is the Fibonacci or phi. That makes A equal 432 cycles. So these little scale changes make resonance. So this is still lots more to go. I also, just as a little thing, in the rawmusic.com, we have a raw forum, and I invite everyone to come and join us, and we can have further discussions and share research and move forward, because this is a grassroots effort at this point. We're all on our own to share with each other whatever we discover, so I'm definitely up for lots of input on this.
Good. And again, that's rawmusic.com.
Ramusic.com.
RAMusic.com. Got another question here. 312-259. I think this is Dara. Is this you?
Hello, it's Dara again. Thank you.
Hi.
I wanted to also know what you think about the perfect fist used in healing, especially if it's like using 2 chords, I think, like the Om and also another one. And when you put them together, they form the perfect fist, and then that creates healing and the pituitary and things like that. Are you aware of any of that?
Certainly when you have harmony, which is what you're talking about. The perfect fifth for the non-musician is, let's say, playing a C and a G at the same time. They are harmonically related. One is actually one half the frequency of the other. And you get the wavelengths when they all line up, and this resonance will then stimulate in the person some sort of healing. Well, if you do it in standard pitch, that perfect fifth will have impact A, we'll call it. But I believe that if you retune the frequencies of that perfect fifth to the raw, it will have a greater effect.
Excellent. Thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. It sounds like it sounds wonderful, the implications of that.
Yeah. We're just standard tuning is just a little bit out, but the Egyptians and the Mayans and the American Indians and the Aborigines all got it right. So we should think about just adjusting. It's a slight adjustment. It's a subtle energy. But aren't we into the time of subtle energy? I mean, we already had atom bombs. We know how to blow things up. But now how do we work within harmony and within ourselves and be in tune with the universe from subtle energy? I think this is the time we're in now.
Mm-hmm. Good point. It's all about the subtle energy. And in fact, to know if you're in resonance, you know, with what you're doing in your life or in the direction is to connect in with the subtle energy.
Absolutely.
You know, it's no longer going to be, you know, blatant billboards or knocking someone on the head. It's very subtle.
That's
okay.
Correct. In fact, talking about knocking on the head, one other thing about raw music is a tool. So much like anything that we have to take responsibility for, we have to be responsible. So, you know, raw music can be used for good and it can be used for not good. My analogy is the hammer. With a hammer, you can build a house or you can hit somebody over the head with it. You know, we have to take responsibility for these new things that we're discovering or rediscovering and use them in the right ways.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Dara, did you have another question or comment or input?
No, I didn't. I'm just fascinated by the whole show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, so continue, and if you have another one, just press number one on the keypad.
Also,
okay, we had another.
Go ahead.
Okay, another question. Let's see, real quick. I'm trying to get it in the chat here.
Yeah.
Is anyone in the music world listening to this new old information? Is this information getting out more, Alan?
Yes, we. I've personally introduced several people to it. And they're working on it now. One of my colleagues, a fellow named Stephen Halpern, we're working on a raw CD that will have all nine formats. So each song of the nine songs on the CD will be on in each of the raw frequencies and written specifically for that energy center. So the 424 will be a heart-focused song, whereas the 427 will be a crown chakra spiritual tune, and the 421 song will be a beat-oriented thing for those things, you know.
And now, what are the implications with the transpersonal chakra? So above 7, 8, 9, above for the main chakras.
Well, this can certainly be additional calibrations. For folks to sense these things, I think they have to first have their grounded part together. Let's just stay where we're at until somebody is that tweaked that they can go above transpersonal and benefit from it. I'm sure that's a percentage of folks out there, but I think most of us are still in the basics.
Mm-hmm.
But it would make sense that there's additional intervals above and below. I mean, look at it this way. In the pi frequencies, we stop at 427 currently, but phi is already at 432. So there's a range. The sun is resonant at 417, so there's a below also.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the point is we're getting into wavelengths and frequencies that are at least in tune with the natural world around us, whereas the 440 is random and arbitrary.
Mm-hmm. It's arbitrary, yeah. And it does tend to strain. It's interesting. There's a strain to it.
Rest to it.
What I find interesting when we chatted before, and I brought this up to you and I want to bring it back up, is that what I find interesting is that it means... And you can see the result of this. It means that as a society, as a nation, you know, as a global collective, we've been living in a strained environment, in a strained vibration. We've been living strained. Yeah.
And so
I think the implications for this also, Alan, this recalibration, if you will help and center people, not just the grounding, but the center them back into the middle region of themselves so that they don't feel off kilter, off balance.
I agree. I mean, the goal here is to find balance. We're in the world of duality. We want to have just enough black and just enough white to be the perfect gray. We want to be the, you know, we want to have the right amount of harmony in our life and in our relationships and in our physical world and in our spiritual world to share the optimal experience of life. And I think the folks that are listening to the show are ones that are drawn to that. I mean, if you're not listening to the show, it doesn't mean you don't, but to take out the time, which I appreciate everyone even stopping and listening to the show today, obviously they have something going on that says this is important right now.
Absolutely. And we have a question from Terry in the chat, Alan. What happens if you infuse raw music with wavelengths above and below? So in other words, above and below the audible range of humans. Example, microwaves, FM, RF frequencies.
Well, the higher vibrations would then be in crystalline structure and DNA, and the lower frequencies would be planetary. So one of the designs we have for the future of Ra is what we call a terracyclic meditator, which would be a device in which you would be showered in sound and vibration that would all be in Ra. You would also then be exposed to colors. Because remember, if there's raw music, there's also raw colors that are harmonious colors that are all octaves above, and also modulate all that by the Earth's natural Earth waves. And this would then put you in a perfect state of meditation, and at the same time it has implications for healing and anti-aging, because now we would begin to take out of it would alter your perception of time. And you could go back to an earlier time when you were younger or healthier and then kind of step out of the session renewed or rejuvenated.
So this, you would receive that frequency of that time period?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're all locked in present time. Right now we're experiencing present time, and that's what we know. But there's the past and the future. Well, the past or the future, we don't know, but we can set vectors of the future from the past. So to sort of step out of present time and go into a sort of an overview is what happens. And so once you're in that overview, you can step back into present time in a different aspect. Here's an example. You know, if we lived in a world that was only two dimensions and we were basically all lived on the face of a piece of paper, we would be bumping into everything around us because there was no way around it. You know, if I didn't move to the side, you couldn't get past me. But if there was some way to now look at that piece of paper from above and get an overview and then step back into the paper, we would have a much better perception of how to navigate the world we're in. And I think it happens when we meditate.
Absolutely. Well, but it's interesting because in inner plane work, you are doing that. Moving around your awareness, if you want to call it, on a timeline, past, present, or future, to reconnect. And you know what's interesting, Alan? We find when we're doing interplane work or any form of clearing work that you're doing some kind of repatterning, it doesn't change on from the cognitive level. It doesn't change from thought. You have to go back to the feeling or feeling tone of that situation or that experience that you want to connect with. So in essence, to me, this is dovetailing to what you're saying with working with the sound frequency.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. You know, I don't think the sound heals. I think we heal ourselves. We are already endowed with a perfect healing system. But the sound will stimulate those healing...
So it's going back to our own resonant frequency. It's going back to the frequency that's even perhaps not even audible, that's not even, that we're not able to even hear.
Or that we're not even able to perceive, correct.
Or perceive, okay.
Deepak Chakra says that we have the perfect pharmacy within us. We can generate, the body can itself generate everything it needs to heal itself, if only it stimulates
mm-hmm.
to do so. And I think
right.
this is where the sound work comes in, to get people to release their awareness of present time enough to allow these automatic systems to function, rather than being overridden with stress and forced into something, or worse yet, that we're now taking externally chemicals which block one thing, which appears to be a solution, but that doesn't stop the source, that just blocks it for a while, and we still have to resolve it internally for it to be cured.
So ultimately, though, beyond sound, is it more, it's more of a frequency, it's more of a vibration then, in essence.
Right. Yeah, we live in, the entire universe is vibration. Think of Genesis
mm-hmm.
1. In the beginning was the Word. Well, the Word was a vibration, and that vibration was
That's
emitted
right.
by the Creator, and it traveled in every direction all at once, omnidirectional, which was spherical. So that's our spherical geometry. It exists in balls and circles. But then as it condenses or slows down from I'll call it love, because love is senior to light even, slows down to light, and then light slows down to matter. It comes from these platonic solids, from pyramids and hexagrams and stuff like that, into a three-dimensional world that has straight lines in it and points. And so that's why I'm so interested in the spherical geometry as a senior frequency. Well, sound is only one little segment of all those frequencies. So
mm-hmm.
if we think about cycles per second, you know, sound goes from about 20 to 20,000 cycles per second. The radio is above that. Light is above that. We also talk about lower cycles per second. Well, we have the Earth, which orbits around the sun, and that does one cycle per year. Or the solar system travels around the galaxy at one cycle for 26,000 years. I mean, all
mm-hmm.
this... you know, it's everything is a frequency, and you know one of the great pursuits of music is what's called music of the spheres, to actually
mm-hmm.
Express the solar system and the galaxy and the universe in modulated frequencies and tempos. Great project. Stuff I get way excited about.
It is great. Now, in essence, what you're speaking about though is it's another tool to get back to our nature, our true nature, as we as said in, you know, meditation in the Buddhist tradition, is that our true nature we need in all these different areas or arenas of being the new forms. That's what the you know, spiritual hierarchy and the oversouls keep talking about. They say, you need new forms. The old forms are no longer going to work, so you need those new forms to hold or carry that resonant field of expression and awareness. So in essence, the raw music is one of the new forms that's doing this, that's carrying out this.
Correct. It's like we're broadcasting on the right frequency now. And so that gives everyone a chance to refer to that, and then from that reference point, make their own expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they need to go for their own resolution.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of the ways that people can attune or realign, in
Correct.
Essence.
Correct. Absolutely. And you know, I expect that this will be shared over and over again throughout the coming decades and become a new standard of what was a standard 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture has just gotten off for whatever reason, and we just need to reestablish the natural harmonies. You know, this whole thing I really think the folks talk about the DNA being the crystalline structure that interfaces between spirit and physical. I think that's absolutely correct, because, you know, when we're born, there's a single cell that starts to happen, and it knows how to continue to multiply, and there's some code in there, and that coding is the DNA. Well, that's the spirit looking at creating a body to experience the third dimension and grow it have a life. I mean, this,
mm-hmm.
this is stuff that we're completely outside of our control. This is part of the natural system, and we want to have natural music.
Yeah. Well, and I like this as well, what you're saying, out of our control, because eventually it is getting to that awareness that on some level what we are and how we're experiencing or expressing this life on this is out of our conscious or cognitive control. It's out of our control. It's coming from this vibration, this
yes.
configuration, this that we are. You know, and I think it's really going to free people up. I think just, you know, it's really, it moves you into that idea of co-creating and moves you into that love vibration. When you have less belief, you just meet with love.
Absolutely. And it's also the time of the female energy, which is much more sensitive to these vibrations and the masters of love, the male energy and the hunter-gatherer, you know, I got to go find something to eat today, energy is out of balance from the things that would just, things to eat would find you if you just relaxed for a minute.
Yeah, the relax into it. Now, Alan, we've just got a couple minutes left. We'll have to have you back. Talk about the advanced raw and the nine flavors of the soul, nine soul types. But just to touch on personal resonance a little bit.
Uh-huh.
We hear a lot about that, your resonance. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think our personal resonance is reflected in the energy. How do we express ourselves? Some people express with love. Some people express with their voice. Some people express with their thoughts. Some people express with their physical activities through their hands or their feet or their running or whatever, and this culmination is what we call life. I mean, I think all this created for us to take on a body, have a life, and have that experience be added to the Akashic records at the end for the Creator to experience what happened once He put all this in motion. Or I'm not He, it could be, you know, He/She. So I think we find joy when we find our personal resonance. There are moments when you just feel good. And whatever it is that makes you feel good is what we want to reinforce that. And what makes you feel bad or stressed, we want to get away from that. So this is our own personal journeys. But you know, the human form was not meant to be alone. We're here to share. Hence radio having a dialogue right now. We're sharing. The people who are listening are sharing. You know, when we do whatever else we're going to do today, we have a meal with somebody else, it's much more pleasurable than having a meal by yourself. And so there's forces in our society right now who are splitting us all apart, but that doesn't have to be the dominant thing. You know, I'm a heart person. I'm a love person. I'm a trusting person. You know, and that trust has cost me a lot of times where people are lying to me, and I just don't throw the red flag up. I go, well, okay, they're going to get through this. But I just refuse to change. Who I am is who
I
am.
I know. I got you. I agree. I'm the same way. It's like, okay, I'm not playing that. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do that game, but I'm going over here.
I know what's going on here. I'll be patient. A person of wisdom is one who observes, forcing things in a certain direction might hurry things up, but it isn't a solution. The solution is when it finds its own natural resonance, when things finally find balance. And, you know, and we're at a time when the entire earth is trying to find balance. We have this 2012 coming up. You know, there's frequencies that are going to be imposed upon our solar system and our planet specifically and our society as a whole that is going to sort of demand unity. You know, where nations are being dissolved. We have this internet, which is a global nervous system, and it's until somebody figures out how to pull the plug on it, you can't turn it off now. But it could be turned off.
Thank you so much, Alan, for being with us. We're about 20 seconds away. this has really been wonderful having you on the program. Definitely a resonant. And I want to say to everyone, follow the resonance. Follow your resonance. You know, connect in with that, the subtle energy that you are. We have been speaking with Alan Howarth, and you can reach him at rawmusic.com. We've been talking about the raw frequency and how it can assist you co-creatively in your life and the implications of this old new frequency and becoming more in resonance with the truth of who you are, with your true nature. Alan, it's been amazing having you on the program.
I look forward to coming back.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, anytime, open door. And also just for those that are listening via the archives, they'll get this a bit later. You have, a workshop coming up?
Yeah, I have a workshop coming up on the 17th of September in Pasadena, September 17th, 6:30 p.m. at the Pasadena Central Library. And I'll be there with therapist Christine Grimm. And we'll actually, I'll talk about raw music, and we'll have a raw toning circle where we are going to share singing raw frequencies as a group.
Wonderful. And if anyone wants more information, can they go to the rawmusic.com website?
Yeah, the raw music community will have an announcement, and also at Christine's website, www.tuneyourvoice.com, she'll also have notice of other events coming up.
Okay, wonderful. Again, such a blessing to have you here sharing your insight, your wisdom. Really appreciate you being on Awakenings and look forward to having you back as well.
And I appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. And thank you, listener participants, for joining in the Converging Flow, sharing all your insight, your wisdom. I appreciate all of the calls that came in and the participation of feedback and questions in the chat as well. Awakenings is what it is because of you. And if you'd like more information on Awakenings, you can email at info@selfandlight.com, or there is information on the Awakenings segment page. If you want to get on the newsletter, if you want to join us on Facebook, it's Awakenings Radio, and Twitter, Awakenings Tweet. Join in the Converging Flow. Keep updates. Keep us updated, as well as letting us know how you are traveling this path of love, light, and wisdom. Love to hear from you. And until next time, shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.